All right, folks, it is that time of the week again for Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you on. We've got a full chat room in. Let's see here. We've got Joe Campo, City of Ash, and remember, guests, you can register for free. Or using your Facebook account on Blog Talk Radio, and then you can chat with us anytime. You can also call in at 714-816-4727 to talk to me or any of my guests. It's free of charge. All right. Let's see here. Everyone's refreshing. Good, good, good. We got Greg Crisp, Mark Lozier, Scott the Pirate, Mr. Paul Shipman, Redneck Kayaker, Scuba Stan, hoorah, and Chris Lozier. See here, what is that? Jeremy Meyer. Everyone's in the chat room, all right. Well, folks, we're going to kick it off with a saying hello to Mr. Mark Lozier. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Not a whole lot. Another day in the salt mines, that's all.
There you go, there you go. All right. And, folks, we're all here to talk to the man, the myth, the legend, co-owner of KayakFastFishing.com. Man of KayakFastFishing.com and Hook One. Also the host of Kayak Bassing TV, found on YouTube. Check it out. Again, folks, Mr. Chad Hoover. What's going on, Chad?
Not much. I'm getting my butt kicked trying to get logged into the chat room. I have no idea what I'm doing wrong. I did it yesterday. So, anyway, I'm trying to figure that out. Other than that, I'm just sitting here freezing. My central heat and AC went out yesterday, day before yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to get it fixed, so I'm freezing. Other than that, dialed into the radio show, man.
Cool.
So,
hopefully we'll keep you warm with good conversation.
Hey.
Anybody got any suggestions on what the heck I'm doing wrong? I'm hitting the Facebook button. I'm hitting, and it's taking me to this page wanting $99 a month, and then I hit refresh, and it's taking me back to I'm not logged in. So, anyway.
Yeah, that 99. You want to pay that 99. That's how we get paid. You need to pay the $99.
Gotcha. I'm going to have to save up to him. Yeah, that's what I just did there. I refreshed it. Oh, by the way, I made your gift card code. It's ready to roll. I never did get the email from you, though.
I'm confused.
No, saltwater pops up and said log in. Window pops up, close it, and refresh it. So. Anyway, I'm trying to get on there, but
okay.
Just letting Saltwater know that his code is ready to go. He can go cash in that $25 from last night.
All right, so you already know that. Awesome sauce approved there. All right. Also, we have who just decided to show up, the ever-loving Redfish Chuck. What's going on, man?
Yo.
What's going on, dude?
What's going on?
Not much. We got Chad Hoover and Mr. Lozier on the line, along with yourself. So let's get right to the right to the business at hand, and that is Boondoggle. And you know, Chad, I can't thank you enough for donating to the Boondoggle. It means a lot to those of us that are really pushing for the giveaways. Folks, if you do not know, the Boondoggle this year is going to be in Chocolosky, Florida, for the spring Boondoggle. And, you know, done in Chocolosky, not this weekend, but the next weekend, President's Day weekend, from the 17th to the 20th. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think we've got almost 50 kayakers that have said that they're going to be there. Plus family and friends. It's going to be a blast. current fishing reports are snook and tarpon are everywhere. So, you know, along with the reds and trout, some pompano, and folks, if you're not excited about this one and you're going, you don't have a pulse. So, it's going to be awesome. And again, thank you, Jed, and thank you, Mr. Lozier. Mark, with his new guiding service, First Landing Expeditions, I believe it is, donated a guiding trip. I mean, so folks, you're not just going to walk away with maybe a small bag of plastics. You could walk away with a guiding trip with one of the better guides in the Mid-Atlantic area. So definitely check that out.
That's where that $99 was right there, Chad.
I'm doing exactly what it says for me to do. I'm hitting the login button and then hit my Facebook thing. The little pop-up pops up, and I close it, and then I refresh the page, but nothing happens. So
remind us what you're doing.
I'm just going to keep doing it until I figure it out. I am tech literate. I got a couple websites.
Yeah, okay. Preaching to the choir.
So, who knows? Maybe I'm blocked. That way the show doesn't, somebody else gets to talk tonight.
We better hurry up. We're going to run out of time again. I'm joking.
Well, somebody start talking about something. Come on.
Well,
I thought this was a fishing show.
I know. We're getting there. I do the normal business, okay? And, you know, because I got you on here, Chad, and you do know your bass, you know, and with these weird temperatures and fronts moving through, you know, what would you use this time of year? Because I get that asked a lot. What would I throw this time of year to be effective
rattle traps,
to catch
rattle traps,
decent bass? Okay.
Rattle traps, big spinner baits, big Colorado blades, dark and stained water. Dark and light and clear water, dark and medium water, dark and everything. I like literally love big spinner baits. Jigs work pretty well. But I like to find some active fish. Spinner baits, big Colorado blades, double or even triple up the skirt to give it some bulk. Slow roll it across the bottom. Slow roll it, you know, wherever you find the fish on your electronics. And yo-yo and rattle traps, or modifying crankbait so that they'll sit after you stop them. So not just suspend, but literally sit still. More often than not, crankbaits are designed to suspend at 70 degrees, maybe even
right.
A little cooler. So in really cold water is denser. So generally, even a crankbait that's designed to suspend will rise a lot faster than the fish are comfortable with. So if you can put some suspend strips on the bottom of it or drill a couple holes in it and add a little weight, you can get that bait to sit there. And this time of year, time in the strike zone is the key. How long you can get that lure to be in the strike zone and give the fish enough time to decide they want to crush it, whether that's a jig sitting still with a big trailer on it that you just kind of guitar pluck your line and get the thing to move a little bit and quiver, or like I said, slow rolling spinner baits to take a little while to get through the strike zone, or three-quarter or even a full ounce rattle traps that you get down real fast and then just kind of slow yo-yo or wobble or jiggle in place to get the fish to crush them. You know,
right.
The shad will start to move here pretty soon, pretty strong, and they're starting to feed up for the pre-spawn, even though it's still kind of early for us up here. But, yeah, they'll be spawning in 3 weeks in most of the country.
Right.
So something big, something they can get a meal out of, you know, elephants eat peanuts, but right now they're trying to get some nourishment for the, you know, to get ready for the rigors of the spawn, if you will.
Right. Now, would you use swim baits this time of year? Like
the
DBZ1
yeah.
style or you know, the cheapo Bass Pro ones?
Yeah, I mean, I would. I use a lot of the Spro BBZ shad this time of year. I like the slow sink, or even the floater, and put enough weight on it to get it to sink just below the surface. The believe it or not, you can find fish shallow. You can find fish in 5-6 foot of water that are sitting just off the bottom or a foot off the bottom, and they'll, in the middle of the day after the water temps have warmed up, they'll come to the surface. You can get them to eat. Suspending jerkbaits are deadly this time of the year because you can pause them and let them sit there for a while. But Rapala, X-Rap, Subwalks, those things are deadly this time of year. I like throwing a couple of suspend dots on their belly to get them to go from suspending to just barely sinking real slow. And believe it or not, mirror lures, saltwater lures that are designed to sink, big plugs, the 77MR is one of my favorite mm-hmm. bass lures. It's a flat-out bass killer. And, you know, a bass doesn't look at that and go, that looks like a finger mullet. And, you know, it looks at it and says, that's a big shiner, you know. So they're deadly.
Right.
Hollow body swim baits, you know, another week and a half, you know, depending on what the water temps are. You know, once you hit that real high 40s, maybe even to the low 50s, you can get away with a little bit faster moving bait. I just don't move to them until they get a little bit more aggressive, so they start to make that transition moving towards the shallow water. So I stay away from the hollow body swim baits for about another 3 weeks, maybe not that long. But if I was like literally forced to go out and fish and I could only fish one bait this time of the year, actually it'd probably be a toss-up. It'd be a toss-up between a big Colorado blade spinnerbait and a rattle trap. I mean, rattle traps, you know, lipless cranks are just deadly this time of year, you know, because the fish are feeding up. And that bait, you can fish it at any depth. You can fish it just off the bottom, yo-yoing it or jigging it. You can even run it along the bottom with the nose just kind of kicking stuff and clipping stuff and kicking stuff up, and it's just a real versatile bait. You can fish it on the fall, let it fall to the bottom, reel it back to the surface, cast it out, let it fall again, and just kind of raise your rod tip to give it that little bit of side shimmy or shimmer and get it to wobble, and that's really all the action you need. A lot of times I make the hooks oversized this time of year, and I put tungsten strips on the belly to give the lure a little bit more weight to get it down, but also to kind of deaden the wobble, and I go up to, you know, if I was fishing 12 or 15-pound line normally, I'll go up to 17 or 20 fluorocarbon to get the line will actually take some of the wobble because it's got a thicker diameter. It'll take some of the action out of the lure. And I just like a lure with a little bit less action, and I get rid of the rattles. I drill a hole in the top, fill it up with lean it forward, and fill it up with super glue so that all the weights are quiet. I don't want a bait that's making a whole crazy bunch of noise. And I, if I find crankbaits that I can find that don't have weights in them or rattles, that's the ones that I'm using this time of year. You get a little bit of clicking and popping from the hooks and the split rings anyway, so you don't need a really loud, overbearing bait. Part of that for me is that I've gotten a really good, refined process for finding the fish. This time of the year, they're generally on your transition areas, meaning find the shallowest water in mid-lake. All your lakes or reservoirs can be divided into thirds, upper, mid, and lower. You know, so figure out what mid-lake is, meaning the main river channel or where the biggest deep water strip that runs through that is, and basically divide it into a third based on your contour. So if it's 30 feet, 20 feet, 10 feet, they're probably going to be in that 15 to 20-foot range, and they're going to be on the first secondary points or submerged humps just before the shallow water. And because you've defined it down and it's really easier to locate the fish, you don't have to have a lure that's got as much of an attractant quality to it because you're not calling the fish. You're really just trying to get them to eat. So that's my strategy, if you will, for this time of the year.
Right. Yeah, I haven't put down my rattle trap so all year long. You know, even in the real shallow lakes we have out here in Virginia, or south side of Virginia, I should say, where, you know, it doesn't get any more than 8 foot that deep, you know, running that along secondary and primary points, you know, right along the shoreline, has just been killer, especially where the rocks on the north side of the lake are when I've got a good northern wind. Just been killer, absolutely killer.
It's been a warm winter overall, so I haven't put away hardly anything, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know, January 13th, I was catching fish on frogs. So, you know, it's been a weird year.
Yeah.
You know, but I was fishing in 2 foot of water, and I was in an area where the deepest water in the whole area is 3.5-4 foot. So it wasn't a big stretch for them to commit to moving up into shallow water because that's all there was there was shallow water. So.
Right.
Anyway.
Cool, man. Just want to go ahead and give away one of your Bass Pass or the gift certificate.
Yeah, let's do a gift card to start off with.
Okay.
What kind of shoes do I wear in the in my videos on the Kayak Bassin YouTube channel?
Cool.
Can I say?
It's in one of the pre-roll commercials. So
Joe Campo got it.
Well, he said Columbia. What kind? What model?
Good one.
Aha, clam shoes, high heels. Nope. I'm looking for the model here, not the brand.
Wow. Stilettos. I remember that night.
Really fast.
Stilettos. Remember that trip?
Is that how you spell stilettos in, like,
no.
Alabama? Stilettos. Come on. It's not that hard.
Wow.
Cajun flats. No, that's what I have on before I put my shoes on.
Cajun Croc is barefoot, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Shoot him a Lozuma.
I had an ingrown toenail one time, and I went to a, place where you get your nails done?
Do what?
Like a nail shop. I went in there to get a pedicure, and they asked me if I was there to actually get my nails done or just get an estimate.
Climb a tree with those and don't use your hands, huh?
Yeah. You need to actually get your feet done, or are you looking for an estimate?
I'd love to see that. Jeez.
Did you realize that
they
actually use Dremel tools there? I was pretty surprised. I was like, holy crap. I got, like, tools in here.
What color of underwear is Chad wearing right now?
Right, Joe Campo's close.
We're going to give it to Joe. Basically, he said Columbia, and he said they drain or something, and they're called the Drain Makers. So, sorry, Jeremy, you got in there at the last minute, but we're going to go ahead and give it to Joe. He pretty much got the concept. They drain in their Columbia, so. Send me an email, Joe, kayakbassfishing@gmail.com, and I will hook you up with a $25 gift card to hook one.
And Joe racked up last night, too.
Cool.
Ask Joe what poster he's got hanging in his bedroom.
Well, he got a poster of you?
Not you. Apparently, he knows all your daggone clothing and all. He won last night like 3 times.
Did he?
Yeah. Got KBS tattooed on the back of his head.
No, that's Wade.
Okay. So
you're saying the Bass Pass is his.
You sit here looking at the chat room all day. Jeez, I don't even do the show. So anyway, Jed, if you had a choice, man, and I know you've been fishing down in Florida recently and everything else, what other body of water would you be fishing right now if you were not looking for numbers but in size? You know, you wanted the swanch, you know, the big old baba.
Wow. That's Falcon Lake, Texas. No brainer. Straight up. One of the craziest lakes I've ever fished in. It's retarded, man. It's just crazy big bass, and you know, you can almost dip your toe in the water there and catch a hog. I mean, it's hands down the best go catch a big fish lake in the country. If I had to go to a lesser known one, I don't know what the current state of it is, but three or four years ago, I used to go to this lake called Bonner in Georgia, and there was
right.
more big monster bass swimming around in such a smaller area that I, you know, it was unbelievable. It had started getting taken over by hydrilla and jacinth and some of the other invasive grasses, and I don't know how well they've handled that, but Barner is a really good one in Georgia. The Kissimmee chain in Florida is ridiculous. Lake Jackson in Florida is retarded good. Oh my God. I mean, there's just so many big fish places in this country that it's not even funny. But, you know, if I was personally going to say a lake I could pick, you know, like a dream destination, and I could just go there and fish, and I wanted to catch a big fish, I'd go to Falcon.
Right.
Falcon or Fork, but I think Falcon's a lot easier to figure out, and, you know, it's a better kayak fishing lake than Fork is. Fork's
right.
such a big lake, and there's so much, you know, it's such a big lake, you know. It's like Okeechobee. Okeechobee was great, but honestly, it's one of the places where I think, yeah, Lake Toho is definitely one of them, too. I think that Okeechobee is so big that it's really one of the only places that the disadvantage of owning a kayak comes into play, and that's range. That's why when we went down there, we did some mothership and trips with one of the Elite Series guys down there, a former Elite Series guy, and it's just such a big lake. I mean, it's the biggest lake in the country that lies solely in one state, and it's definitely gargantuan. It's like something like 450,000 acres or something. It's retarded big.
Wow.
But literally, it's almost like there's a bass on every weed sometimes, and then there's other times like you can't find them to save your life. So it's just crazy.
Yeah, man, that's insane. You know, I was watching Zona's awesome fishing show when he was down there at Falcon. Those bass, good golly, man.
We can't say hell on here or pissed.
Sure.
Okay, somebody was posting on there. Yeah, Toho is crazy. There's City of Ash. It's definitely a nice lake. There's a couple of other small ones like Robert and some other ones in that Kissimmee area that don't get a lot of traffic or credit or whatever that are ridiculously nice. I mean, fresh waters for drinking, whatever.
Now, here's something that you're not normally asked. You know, if you had the choice, man, where would you go fishing in salt water right now? And for
me?
What?
Yeah. I'd go to the west coast of Florida for tarpon.
All right. Why is this, why the west coast of Florida
for tarpon? Yes, sir. I'd go to the west coast of Florida, and I would go for tarpon and snook in a few places where people don't even think they're at yet.
Right.
You guys won't be too far from. You won't be real, real close, but you'll be sitting in the catbird seat when you're down in Chokoloskee.
Right.
Is Captain Wright getting in on that deal? You guys hooking up with him while you're down there?
I believe so. Chuck, are we hooking up with Captain Wright? So I know we got Mike Ortega and Steve Chapman.
I'll have Rich Jones on from Everglades next Tuesday night. He was on some tarpon today. Actually, I talked to him today down there. He's in Everglades City. So
Dean Thomas from the Wilby team out of Texas is He's actually in Tokolowski right now. He went down there Monday or Tuesday, drove down, and I think he's going to be down there for a week. So I will get the intel for you and pass it along early next week so you guys can have some insights into what you're looking for when you're down there. If I wasn't on my way to the Classic, I've got a film in Montgomery, Alabama, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then just south of Tupelo, Mississippi, Thursday and Friday. Otherwise, I'd detour my way down there and hook up with you guys and well. Chip just said that Captain Charles Wright has his paddle in the weekend prior, so that's what Dean's doing down there is hooking up with him.
Right. Okay, cool. Cool.
Still can't log in, otherwise I'd be chatting, guys. Sorry.
It's all right. Let's see here. Chad, do you have any questions for us? Something, you know, something different from instead of me asking or Mark or any other host asking, you know, do you have any questions for us? So you got
who,
three
me?
Hosts right here. Yeah, you.
Yeah, I mean, what do you guys think is kind of the next what do you think are some products that we need developed that aren't out there for kayak anglers right now? I'll tell you, I cycle between carrying everything except the kitchen sink back to minimalist, back to carrying everything but the kitchen sink, back to minimalist, back to carrying everything that I can load into the boat. And I'm pretty fortunate that I get to work with guys like Luther from Yak Attack. And, you know, now that I'm a co-owner of a kayak fishing shop, I pretty much get to play with all the toys, and I get contacted by the companies before the stuff gets out, and I'm constantly getting asked, you know, like what does the market need that's not out there? So, what do we need? What do we need that's not out there?
Ms. Lewis, you want to start that one off?
Sorry, I was reading what people are already saying in the chat room about what they need. I've definitely been. Well, I don't know what to say, but a better storage system. I mean, like the crate packs or anything like that, something that's a little easier plug and play. I'm with Chad. I go back and forth. Some days I take a handful of lures, and other days I take every daggone thing I think I have and don't use any of it. But, I don't know. I don't know if there's one thing I could pin down as saying that the sport needs. And not to plug anybody, but Yak Attack definitely made it a lot easier for everybody to rig their boats, and that was a thing that for a long time was very difficult. So with a lot of that stuff coming out, cheaper crate packs somebody just put. So I don't know. Something that made it maybe easier with inside the crate pack, something that would hold your tackle a little, because sometimes it's on the bottom, you know, trying to dig through it, something, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can definitely see, you know, simpler systems. Chuck, what would you do, man? What would you think the industry needs?
Dude, I am a simplist. I don't carry hardly anything with me. I carry as light of gear as I need because I'm kind of a fat guy, and you put a fat guy in a little boat. Plus a bunch of gear, and just usually some sort of something's going in the water. I don't know. You know what? Like, the product that I could use right now would be a small drift sock. But something small for a kayak. I'm sure somebody makes one. I don't have any experience with them, but a small drift sock.
Called a bait bucket.
Yeah.
How small?
Well, small enough to where, I mean, you could still trip it, and you don't have to, like, strain your back to get it back in the kayak. I mean, I've seen ones that were small enough to be used on micro skiffs, and they're just a little bit too big for even the kayak. A bait bucket doesn't cut it when down here when you're fishing, you know, any kind of tide movement at all. So the drift sock, I think, would really be nice, something maybe – probably like a 3 foot across, maybe 2.5, 3 foot across by about 4 foot deep or so, 5 foot deep or so. something that would really kind of help to slow you down quite a bit, especially for those of us that fish in kayaks where we can sit in a high position and we're heavy, like, you know, big guys like myself. When the wind blows, we're like kites, man, and we do like 2 knots across the surface. And when you're trying to sight fish big trout and redfish on the flats, it's kind of a pain in the butt, man, when you drift so quick. So that would probably be one thing. Everything else, I think Luther's pretty much either already come up with or is working on. So another plug there for Luther and the Yak Attack guys, man.
We've got a pretty small drift sock over at Hook One. We've got ones that go up for like 20-foot boats, and then I've got a really small one that I found that was supposed to be designed for like life rafts. That's you know, so you can check those out and see if those are in your window. And if not, just send me an email and I'll find something. And if I can't find it, I'll get it made. I see some comments about a lighter PFD. I can tell you that Confluence Water Sports bought a company called Bomber Gear. And Bomber Gear is the guy that owns Bomber Gear was a gear manufacturing guru. And he is working on a PFD design right now. And I was a helicopter air crewman for the first half of my career in the Navy, and then I was a pilot for a couple of years before I got NPQ'd. And so what I'm doing is I'm working with him on designing a concept similar to the survival vest that you see helicopter and search and rescue crewmen wearing, in that and merging it into the design of a fishing kayak. So we will hopefully have something on the market, not for this outdoor retailer, but the following outdoor retailer. So basically about a year and a half, because believe it or not, there's a huge testing process and Coast Guard certification process that you have to go through to get a fishing kayak, a fishing PFD to the market. I actually worked with MTI on the development of the Solaris F-Spec, and even on the new one, I had some input on that one, but they really were very, very resistant to going full-blown, listening to what I had to say, and they wanted to stay towards a more traditional PFD design, and it was frustrating because I'm like, look, guys, I'm trying to tell you what guys that do this want. You know, you've got a guy that designs whitewater PFDs, and I've been doing this thing for 15 or 20 years, and I've been listening to folks. And so anyway, I think that, I definitely think that the tab adapter for the Marine radio is good. That City of Ash just popped up there. We're working on a PFD. It ain't going to be out anytime in the super near future. So for me right now, the best two market jackets out there on the market for the money and for the use is the Chinook from NRS and the F-Spec Solaris from MTI. And neither one of them are perfect, but I think that they're both that, and probably even the Stolquist Fisherman are in the best of class that I've seen. The live well suggestion. So anyway, keep your eye out for that. I'll actually be going on the forums in another 3 or 4 months and start asking for suggestions. And I'm actually going to try to nominate a panel of guys that are not just the Wilderness Systems Pro staff, but get a few people involved in the design process so that we get some fresh eyes on it and we're able to come out with the best product that we can for, you know, the majority of the anglers out there. The live well thing, there's a couple of things in work on that. We actually I actually have a prototype design that Luther from Yak Attack did the CAD work for, and we're getting costing done on it. But we're collaborating with Mad Frog Gear, who made the fish hopper. I think that the fish hopper is probably the best. There'll be a female version of it too there. VA chick. There will be a model of this fish hopper that we're hopefully trying to make there, where the bottom half of it is rotomolded out of plastic, which makes it a little cheaper, and it also makes it a little more durable, and potentially even a little more capacity. The problem with capacity on live wells and kayaks is that if you get too much capacity, you run the risk of altering the performance of the kayaker and or getting into potentially unsafe situations. There's only so high you can go, first and foremost, before when somebody starts to lean, if all the water, you know, goes to one side, you end up with a performance issue and potentially a safety hazard. So there's only so far that we'll go with live wells. I think right now on the market, the best thing out there is the fish hopper from Mad Frog Gear. It's a little bit expensive. It's $169, but if you're buying a thing to fish tournaments, all you got to do is place once and it paid for itself, you know. So that's about the best thing out there right now. Like I said, we've got a couple of things in the works to try to bring the price down on that, and I'm going to work with John instead of trying to, you know, always do a different product. You know, and ooh, look at me, I've got the newest mousetrap. Let's just take the one that we've got and the guys that are pioneering certain rigging venues or certain kayak fishing needs, and let's all get together. And that's the beautiful thing about this sport. You got guys like Luther working with guys like John Upchurch from Mad Frog Gear, and they're actually collaborating. You know what I mean? They're actually coming together to make better products for everybody. And, you know, that's where this sport differs from probably the whole rest of the outdoor industry and from the whole rest of the fishing industry, is that, you know, guys work together for the common good of the sport and, you know, so on and so forth. So so we've got that. Those two things are definitely on the radar, the good PFD and the live well. The biggest problem with the live well thing is, and I'll just be honest with you, is the cost of the mold. It's really expensive to buy a roto-molded mold, and then you have to figure out what the return on investment is and how many people will actually buy them. The affordable survival suit thing that is functional for moving around on a kayak, I actually just started a dialogue with NRS about that very topic, because most of the other companies that I've dealt with are, they make whitewater stuff and figure that fishermen can just deal with it. And I don't really like that answer. So I'm going to try to find somebody that will help us make something great. And then Bomber Gear, the company that like I said, that Confluence purchased last year that makes whitewater gear, we have a couple of designs on the table for making a, I don't want to call it a fishing suit. I want to call it a fishing system. It's more of a bib combination, interlocking waist gasket kind of a deal that you can wear in four seasons. You can wear the bottom with a light top, the bottom with a heavy top, and the bottom with a dry top, or the bottom by themselves with the paddling jacket, and you don't have to buy five different, you know, setups. You can buy one setup, and it's adjustable, or it's functional throughout all the seasons. So that's definitely a great suggestion. It's been one of the things that's been at the top of my list for a couple of years. I worked with Palm, who probably hands down makes the best dry gear out there. But they're in the UK, and they dropped their U.S. distributor. Actually, MTI Adventureware used to be their U.S. distributor, and when they dropped them, it just got very difficult to deal with them because they're, you know, they're across the pond. And getting any kind of innovative collaboration going was almost impossible. And they're very happy with owning the whitewater market. And I don't know that there's a lot of focus on fishermen. So of the two companies out there that, in my opinion, that are really not just giving it lip service, I think Bomber Gear from Confluence and NRS from Northwest River Supply. I've heard some really good things. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't really attest to it. But I've heard that Kokatat is definitely interested and is trying to gather some information on making some great products for fishermen. And then I've also was privy to a conversation with some folks who talked about Level 6. Another whitewater gear company that says that they have interest in building some made for fishermen from scratch, and you know, designed for fishermen and articulate for fishermen and cut for fishermen and stuff like that. So anyway, that's kind of where, that's what I know of all of those kind of products being developed along the way. So I just wanted to see if there was anything new that we're not thinking of, or that, you know, needs to be improved upon. Now
right.
That Luther's here, all you got to do is say it, and it will be. and hey, Redfish, Chuck, I actually I traded phone calls with the guy from Tackle Webs today. That's actually a pretty cool product, and I got a also got a recommendation about them from a guy named Jose Vidal, who's peppy on the boards, if anybody knows him. So I actually played phone tag a couple times with the guy from Tackle Webs. So Tackle Webs will be at hook one here pretty quickly. So thanks for the suggestion.
Well, Chuck bounced off the live chat. The speaking chat to typing chat. So I'm having a brain fart tonight. Sorry about this, folks. Alrighty. So, Jed, let's give away that Bass Pass. Kick it off right.
Okay. What's that?
Go ahead and shoot the question, man.
I'm trying to find the I'm trying to get logged in so I can type it in. I guess I'll just have to take it and just put it up there. Just put it out there. Just a second. Go ahead and talk about something for a minute or two, Mark, and I will fire it to you in just a second.
Okay. Let me think here. Quick thought. Remember, folks, this is time. What's that?
But ask Mark what he's going to do on the guided trip that you go away on the boondoggle.
So, Mark, what Chad just said.
What's that, dude?
What are you planning on doing? I know you gave away a guided trip for the boondoggle for one
putting
lucky person.
Putting somebody on fish. Putting somebody on fish, like always. No, I hope whoever wins the trip, I mean, we can do it either way. If they're already a kayak, you know, they're welcome to bring their own boat, or we can take one of mine out there. And, you know, it depends on when they want to come, what we're going to fish for. Obviously, you know as well as I do, in our area, every month something different we can target. So it just depends on when they want to come, when they want to take the trip. So whoever wins it, they'll be more than welcome to come on up. We can go for striper in the fall or whatever in the summer. Flounder, reds, hopefully will be back. Definitely speckled trout. We've been having great speckled trout bite in the Virginia Beach area for the past couple of years. Seems to be getting better and better. So if Tom wins it, I'll take him spot fishing. If the other Tom wins it, we'll go croaker fishing. We'll see what happens.
Well, they have to get down there to the boondoggle. That's half the battle. Because the only way you can win that trip to fish with the Losers is to be at the boondoggle in Chokoloski.
Yeah, there's a lot of good trips I saw today that Chuck's put up one. I believe Steve M. Gibson from Shallow Pockets put up a trip. So all the people that are going to the boondoggle definitely are going to walk away from there happy. I saw the list of stuff that Chuck put up today. And he's right up there with our TKA tournament.
How does that work? How does that work for the boondoggle trip giveaways?
That's Chuck. I don't know if Chuck's hung up, didn't he?
Chuck, so how does that work, man?
Oh.
As far as the giveaways for the trips?
Yes.
Yeah. Here's kind of my theory. I've gotten an overwhelming response from everybody that I've got a hold of for items to be raffled off. I've been a tournament fisherman for quite a while, and all the tournaments that we do down here, saltwater side, usually have some sort of raffle affiliated with them, and usually they're really good. And the problem is you can buy like $50 in raffle tickets and still not win anything, and that tends to piss some people off. So rather than doing that, I come up with the concept of kind of just doing a free raffle, because, I mean, people are already going to spend a ton of money to get down there and fish with us. Let's just put something in their hands and make them happy is kind of the way that I was looking at it. The the theory, because we still don't have a definitive number of how many people are going to actually show up. So the theory is that we will have prize packs for everybody who shows up. Everyone who comes to Boondoggle and stays down there with us and fishes with us for the weekend will all receive a single raffle ticket. That raffle ticket will entitle you to any number of prize. I mean, any number of the swag stuff that we're going to be giving away, i.e. hats, shirts, stickers, gift certificates, that kind of thing. The bigger prizes, what I call the bigger prizes, which are going to be the rods, reels, the kayaking trips with the guys who have donated them and myself, and the 3-day, 2-night stay at the River Palms Cottage. Those I think are going to be on a separate raffle, away from the original raffle. So the reason why I'm saying that is because everybody should get something as far as like a goodie bag just for showing up. The raffle is kind of just a fun way of doing that. And then we'll do an additional raffle, again, free. I'm not going to charge anybody for it. And you have the possibility of winning all that other cool stuff. Something I was thinking about doing, and I don't know, maybe we can get some opinions from the guys who are going to show up, is something we do down here for tournaments is a 50-50, where, say, you donate $10, you know, we'll call it a $10 buy-in. And for everybody who donates at $10, you get another raffle ticket. That additional raffle ticket goes into a pot for that money, but it's a 50-50 split. And the theme is that most of the guys that are going to be there and most of the guys that are here on Kayak Fishing Radio, I know Chad Hoover and all you guys are ex-military or still in the military. What better way to give back to the Heroes of the Water organization than to maybe donate half of that money raised back to Heroes on the Water? So the way that I'm looking at it is it's simple. Give me $10, it gives you a raffle ticket. You give me $20, it gives you 2 tickets, however you want to do it. And then at the end of the night, say we do it on Saturday night, I'll draw a number, and whoever has that number wins half of the pot. The other half of the pot we donate to the Heroes on the Water.
Very cool.
Well, that sounds awesome. And I'll tell you what, that sounds like music to my ears. Because let's do this. Let's say that for the captain's bags or the prize bags or the guest bags or whatever you want to call them, we'll contribute a 20% off coupon from Hook One, and that's bigger than any discount we give for anything else the rest of the year. If you buy a Bass Pass, you get 15%. So what we'll do is we'll say Boondoggle participants will get a coupon that's good for 20% for the month or something along those lines. So you can email me or call me after this, and we'll work out the details, and I'll draft up the graphic or whatever that you can print out and use as a 20% off card. So then what I'll do is I'll also throw in a fishing trip with me as well, but it won't just be a regular guided trip. What it'll be is if you win the trip with me, it's a trip to come film with me for one of the episodes of Kayak Bassin for World Fishing Network or Not Right Kayak Fishing for NBC Sports. The reason that I say one or the other is because we only have a short period of time left before we're available for the NBC Sports has to be edited and turned in and all of that good stuff in about another month. But we'll get the person on World Fishing Network for sure. We'll get them on a YouTube video on Kayak Bassin TV, and it'll serve two purposes. It'll get some awareness out there for Heroes on the Water, and it'll also create, you know, a little bit more interest in the Boondoggle, hopefully, you know. I can promise you that you'll have a good time. I don't know that you'll catch a lot of fish. We don't always go to, you know, pristine Gucci private places. We do that some. Sometimes we go fish a public lake and say, all right, this might not make good TV, but I'm going to show you exactly how we fish. We went to Texas and fished really high-pressure bluebird conditions and fished hard all day for, like, 4 fish. But we made a TV show out of it. So here's the deal. I'll give away a trip to fish with me on the show as long as the proceeds are for that particular part are going to Hal. And if you catch a bigger fish than me on the show, you'll take home the kayak you're fishing in on that show, and that'll be a kayak that I bring to the tournament.
Golly.
Wow, you just made my trip to Virginia Beach look exciting, dude.
look at Chad coming through, man. That is awesome.
Damn.
So now let's get away a bass pass. So Chip, you and I will get together and work out the details on that. At a minimum, we'll do the 20% discount to Hook One. In addition to that, we'll definitely do the trip for the filming of the TV show, which will, you know, be on Versus. I mean, it'll either be on NBC Sports, which used to be Versus, or World Fishing Network, or both. Because see, sometimes some of the stuff runs over. So basically, we could film an episode that ends up being a late season episode on World Fishing Network, and it could be an early season next year episode on NBC Sports, because we run a full series on World Fishing Network, which is 13 episodes. And then we run a mini-series on NBC Sports, which is 3 episodes this year and probably 6 next year. So there's some of the stuff that that isn't going to be live. So basically whoever wins it, or some of the stuff's not going to be original. Some of the stuff you'll see on both channels, but for the most part they're different audiences. But here's what I'm doing. I'm filming in late February. So end of this month I'm filming in Montgomery, Alabama, and then over in Tupelo. After that, I'm going to a private, almost like a fishing preserve, if you will, kind of a deal down in South Carolina. So if we can work it out to where this can work out, we can be fishing, you know, mid-March, spawning bass and near Santee Cooper, South Carolina, where there's some hogs. I've actually personally caught my personal best largemouth that I actually got a photo of, a 12-pound, 4-ouncer, in a public lake right near this place where we're going fishing. And we're going down there for a photo shoot with South Carolina Outdoor News, and we're going to also be filming one of the episodes of the show while we're there. So if we can work that out, the following month in April, I'm going to Mexico. That's going to be the KayakBassFishing.com Angler of the Year. That's a guy by the name of Steve Garcia. So I can't get the person in on that trip because we've already – giving that away, and then after that we're going back to Texas, so it could be a Texas trip, and then we're going to Canada for big pike and largemouth in June. So every trip for the rest of this year is going to be retarded, as my daughter would say, redonkulous. It's going to be, you know, crazy good fishing. It's going to be primo destinations. So it's definitely something that I think if you win it, you're going to have a good time. And I'm going to tell you right now, come with your hammer cocked, because we're going to fish hard. We're going to get up before daylight. We're going to fish till after dark, and then we're going to sit around and clown and tell stories and joke until 1 o'clock in the morning. And it's going to be a blast. And there's going to be some goofing off that happens. And you're going to be on TV. So, you know, bathe first. I don't bathe on the show, but I bathe the weekend before and the weekend after. So, you know, come prepared. It's gonna be off the chain. So, if you guys are up for it, I'm up for it. Let's do it. Let's raise some money for Heroes on the Water. When we get the person on the show, we'll talk about the fact that they came from Kayak Fishing Radio. That'll give Kayak Fishing Radio some exposure. We'll talk about the fact that, you know, they won it on a Heroes on the Water benefit. That'll give Heroes on the Water some exposure. And then we'll have some drama, because if they can catch a bigger fish than me, they get to go home with one of my kayaks. So, you know, we'll play that up as well.
Wow. That's awesome. Very cool, man. We'll definitely appreciate that, Chad. That's awesome, man. We'll incorporate that into the 50-50, I guess, the way we'll do it. We'll, you know, if you want to get in, go ahead.
Hello?
I think it's just echo. It's just an echo, Chuck.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to get involved in the 50-50, then the stakes, I guess, have just been raised through the roof. So, you know, the more tickets you buy, the better chances you have to win a trip to fish with Chad Hoover. So, and be on television. God, that's quite awesome, man. Thank you very much for that.
Well, I'm glad our show got cut off last night now.
All right, so let's give away a Bass Pass. Basically, you know, like we talked about last night, the Bass Pass is a It's a $150 value. It enters you into nine challenges on kayakbassfishing.com. That's nine shots at winning Costa Del Mar sunglasses and Lowrance depth finders and Wilderness Systems kayaks and Adventure Technology paddles. And I mean, I'll just say it. We don't have any real slouch products. We have some lower value stuff down at the, you know, 10th and beyond places, but we don't have anything that's not quality stuff. So anything that you win on kayakbassfishing.com is going to be, you know, solid quality product. So on the Kayak Bassman YouTube channel, I had the opportunity to interview a guy, and he showed me a lure that he had actually not only been developing, but I had been working with him and talking to him, and he had been, you know, alluding to, you know, kind of what Mark asked me at the beginning. During those transitional times of the year when it's hard to do a, you know, it's hard to say that this pattern or that pattern is the best pattern, what's the lure that's missing that if we had it, it would be almost the perfect deal? He started working on it. This dude is one of those guys that is one of the coolest people you'll ever meet in the sport. 10 years ago, I sent him an email because I had seen a video of his catching an 18-pound largemouth, and I was just floored. I was like, holy crap, dude. So I sent him a couple of emails, and the guy was already a celebrity, but he answered the email. He threw his personal phone number in there and says, hey, if you ever want to talk about it, give me a shout. I called him up. We talked for 2 or 3 hours about lure design, about big bass presentations. He asked me, you know, question after question after question, kind of feeling me out. And I think, I guess I passed the muster, you know, and he said, you know what, dude, I'm a fireman. And I appreciate your service. He's a fireman. I'm military. We hit it off. And I've been fortunate to get some packages from him in the mail. I read his book. And when I was at ICAST, he grabbed me by the collar and said, hey, come here, I got to show you something. And I asked him if we could video it, and he let me video it. And we were the only person at ICAST last year that he let video a prototype lure that still hasn't hit the market in the U.S. So if you can tell me who that person was, then you get a free KBF Bass Pass for 2012.
I know who it is, and I'm keeping my mouth shut. He's my hero.
Pauly Shore?
Yeah, that's who it is. Pauly Shore, you got it.
Mark said it was his hero.
And I can tell you, man, this guy is phenomenal. And to this day, he's one of the best big fish fishermen that I know. The guy's almost intolerant of catching small fish. Like, he shakes off 6-pounders, 8-pounders. Like, they don't even exist. He, you know, he lives in California where there's some monstrous bass to be caught. But he fished in some really tough places to fish in some really super clear water. And he went up north last year and caught like a 7.5-pound smallmouth, fishing with a guide up there who swore up and down that the only reason he told him at one of his seminars, the only reason that he caught big fish was because he listed, yeah, close. And I'm going to make it hard on you, Joe, because you already won so much stuff, but that's actually pretty close. But we're looking for, like, his actual name, Joe. Are you there? Anybody? You look?
No, I'm here.
So anyway, the
I'm looking
awesome.
At it. Yeah.
I think hey, other people are Googling it right now. They're going to
When he started Google. Talking to you about, you know, taking a BBZ and snapping it and making it turn to stare down a bass, you know, and that clicked in my head, you know. It's like, that makes so much sense for that, you know, the bass is following it behind, you know, the bait, and all of a sudden that bait challenges the bass. The bass goes from predator to, you know, instinct, I have to kill you reaction, you know, for my safety kind of thing. You know, like you say, they got the size of a pea in their brain, so.
Yeah, I call it the softball in the sun. You know, it's just like when somebody throws you a softball and you're looking into the sun, you throw your hands up to protect yourself. Well, bass don't have hands. They got a mouth, so they crush it out of self-defense. That's the 180 look back, the slack line look back. It's a deadly technique, especially in rivers. River fishing, not just for smallmouth, but for largemouth as well.
Yeah.
Shame on you, Chuck.
Patrick. Siebel.
Come on, man. He's French. I'm in the military. I'm in the U.S. military. He could be the greatest kayak fisherman in the world. That's it. Hammerhead.
Great Chris. Yeah, this is kind of, Chad, this is a guy, Great Chris. He lives up in New Hampshire. And he's been to every boondoggle we've had already so far, the two that we've had. And, I mean, driving anywhere just to fish. And this year he had, you know, some business at work that he couldn't make this one. And he's been all bummed out. And this is a great way to, you know, you might not make it to the boondoggle, but you might have a chance to get some awesome stuff. So congrats, Greg. And, you know, thank you, Chad. Bill
no
Sutton, Simitel. I've been doing some research on the guy, and just like you said, if it's not over 10 pounds, he doesn't even blink an eye at it, which is just too cool for school. But,
so, Mr. Hammerhead there can send me an email at kayakbassfishing@gmail.com, and I will let you know how to claim your prize.
All right. So there you go, folks. Chad, you got anything else to give away?
What?
Anything?
What do you want me to take the shoes off my kids and throw them on the chat board on Kayak Fishing Radio? Man, I'm broke.
I was just making sure, man. Just making sure. Because it was originally just a fast pass, and then, you know, but anyway. But again, folks, if you don't or you're not a member of Kayak Bass Fishing, become a member. Support Chad and George, two great guys, on a great website. And, you know, check out Hook One, folks. Like Chad said, if he doesn't have it, he will have it at some point. And, man, I can't thank you enough for being on. This is number 3 on my show. So you've got the illustrious, you know, if you ever wanted to come on, just, you know, talk about anything, let me know, man. You have full ring.
I appreciate you guys having me. And while we're talking, I created a discount code for everybody on Kayak Fishing Radio. So anybody that goes to Hook One, KFR2012 is the discount code to get a discount on your next purchase of 10%.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Just,
and that's
definitely too cool,
for all of the boondoggle participants, and then hopefully I get to hook up with somebody cool and have a good time filming an episode of Not Right Kayak Fishing and Act a Fool on TV.
There you go, man. There you go. All right. Well, thank you, Chad. If you want to stay on, you can. I'm going to close out the show with my usual let me get this out of the way. Do you have any, you know, go ahead and plug your shameless plugs.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, man, we've given me more shameless plugs in the last 2 days than I need to, you know, that I care to think about. So you can just roll on with it, man. Thanks for all y'all's support, and I'm looking forward to hearing your feedback on the show, and send me an email if we don't have something at Hook One that you want us to have, and, you know, look forward to seeing you out there on the water. If we're going to be at the Bassmasters Classic the end of the month, give me a shout. Or if you live near Montgomery, Alabama, or Tupelo, Mississippi, hit me up and maybe we can hook up for a beer or something while I'm down there.
All right. All right, man. Thank you again. Bob, great to have you on. All right. So with that, Chuck, you got anything going on next to, you know, check your blood pressure and your heart rate after Chad just, you know, absolutely sweetened the pot and made every other person that's giving away something for the boondoggle seem minute?
None of it's minute, man. None of it's minute. All of it's very good. I think that was a very generous offer that we drew up there, and I think it'll bring a little bit more of a donation to give back to Heroes in the Water, which is Taylor. But if I could, if I have, you got, what do you got? 9:30 for the show?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
All right, cool. Real quick, guys, I just wanted to thank some of the sponsors that have signed up. I'll go through this pretty quick style. Salty Shore, Scales Gear, Kayak Kevin, Mark Lozier, Chris Lozier, Harry Goods Outdoor Shop, Strike Zone, Hamlet Fish Supply, Elusive Tails, Clothing Apparel, Captain Mark Wright, Bending Branches and Aquabound, Mountless Fish Company, Florida Sportsman, Florida Sportswoman, Tackle Vets, Pure Fishing, River Palm Cottages, Yeti Coolers, Yak Attack, Thai Guys Lures, Hook One, Bug Life Fly Fishing, Bone Fish and Tarpon Trust, Fly Tooth Fly Lines, The Action Innovation, Bloody Decks, Cooked Up Lures. Who else do I got? I got Steve Chapman from Fish Florida Radio who's hooking it up. We've got Heroes in the Water that's donated a few things. We've got a couple of more that signed on today, and I'm waiting on another big surprise. I know Z-Man's going to be donating some stuff. We got 12 Fathom Lures coming to us as well. We got three deep south rods, Bob Bramblett, and Bill Haywood has given us some braid, I believe. But we'll see, man. But the big news, as you just heard, 50-50 raffle. If you are the lucky winner of the 50-50, you're going to have an opportunity to fish with Chad on TV and possibly walk away with a kayak. So, killer. Awesome. All the proceeds for that, for the 50-50, half of the proceeds for that will go to Heroes of the Water. And you're going to win money. So, there you go.
All right. This is, folks, I'm so excited for this one. It's going to be, going to be a good time. Chad, Chip wanted to say, if you drive through Atlanta, give him a call. So.
Yeah, I'll actually be going through Atlanta on my way to Montgomery, so I'll do that.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, thanks, guys, and, I don't know how to thank you enough for having me on here, man. This is a good time, and, I'm what's the word I'm looking for here? I'm like flattered with the comment about the whole fishing trip, but I think everybody who's donated something, any of those trips that you win are going to be a great time. So, especially with Mark, I don't know if you've ever been fishing with that guy, but good Lord, it's an experience.
Is that a good experience or a bad experience?
Yeah,
I can take it. Yeah. I can take it personally.
Yeah,
because I finally got a chance to fish with you last month or 2 months ago, and from a guy who doesn't know, sea trout very well or speckled trout, whatever. The knowledge base that I had 20 minutes, we spent only about half an hour together. From before that, I fished with you to afterwards. I now have a knowledge base that I go, okay. Now you broke it down Barney style to the point where, I can understand sea trout. Now I can effectively go out and catch them, which I have done, thanks to the 30 minutes you had with you. So I cannot imagine a full day of fishing with you could do for my knowledge base.
When you pay, I talk more. I'm just joking.
What's that?
I said when you pay, I give you a little more. I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. So.
Yeah, I can tell you, man, I've been blessed to fish with a lot of great folks in my fishing career or whatever you want to call this little endeavor. But Mark is on the one hand of the short fingers of the people that have actually influenced me the most out there, and that's counting a lot of really quote unquote pro fishermen out there. I'm going to tell you straight up, Mark is one of the best fishing guides in the kayak fishing game that most people don't know who he is, kind of a deal. That guy, just consistent, solid, hardcore service. Obviously, the whole people know who this thing has changed over the last couple of years, but for years, Mark has been up here in Virginia tearing it up. The guy kind of just below the radar, working at the tackle shops, passing that knowledge on. You could not walk into any of the tackle shops in the Virginia Beach area and not find somebody who works in that store that wasn't influenced by Mark Lozier. So, brother, you have done a great job of being an ambassador for the sport, and You know what? I might have to book you this year because I can't get you to film with me for free anymore. So I'm going to have to go on your website and book a trip.
Well, thank you very much for everything you said. And thank you for coming on last night with us. I'm sorry we didn't get to end it right. But I thank you, Chris, and I enjoyed having you on last night. And I'm glad you were able to free up your schedule and come back tonight and share your time with us. And definitely wanted to personally thank you for everything you just gave away for the boondoggle and for the Howe thing. So I appreciate all that too. It means a lot in this sport because it's a small community, even though it's a huge sport. So we all stick together like this, and that's what it's about, sticking together and sharing our knowledge. And that's the thing that makes me get up every morning and do that thing, is to share it. It's like Mark was just mentioning, I don't hold nothing back. I try to share everything I can with everybody. And like I said, thank you for your kind words there. And again, thank you for last night too.
No problem, man. I'm gonna get off here and go find something to burn to warm my house up. So y'all have a good night.
All right, man. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Chad Hoover. Definitely support him with KBF and Hook One. And it will be, excellent. I'm so stoked now. Not only for the boondoggle, but for Heroes in the Water. Folks, if you don't know what Heroes in the Water is and what it can do for those that have, written the check, up to and including their life, who have come back with not only physical but emotional scars, that this, way of getting them out and, giving them a sense of, singularities, a sense of independence again, that they can live without, their leg or their arm, and they could be functional just like anyone else, is a huge, huge step in their recovery. So I say that not as a, someone from the outside, but someone who's actually gone through that. So please support Heroes on the Water. I know they're trying to help the Camp Lejeune Marines down in North Carolina with getting Hobies, because they got several Marines that have situations with their upper body. I've donated what I could. Please, people, go to heroesonthewater.org, support them. And it means a lot. It really does. So, all right. Let's see here. We got some people in there. All right. Well, with that, I'm going to call it a night. I have a flight tomorrow to Nashville for the National Wild Turkey Federation convention. If you're going to be in Nashville, you live around Nashville, come to the Gaylord Hotel. Check out the booth. It's the Working Wood Art booth. You can't miss me. I'll be
flying all the way to Nashville to drink liquor?
I wish, man. I wish.
Wild turkey, right? Wild turkey.
Yeah, that stuff's like, free. But, yes, folks, stop by, check me out, ask me questions. I'll be talking turkey all day. Be able to talk fishing would be a welcome end. So, all right. Mark, you have any shameless plugs? Hit up your sponsors, man.
I am good. I got to go write that check to Chad now for the plug he just gave. So now I'm good, brother. Your thing. You go ahead. I'm good. I'd just like to thank everybody who tuned back in from last night's show. And thanks for having everybody back, that tuned back in to get that bass pass. Sorry, Joe, you got to get better with your spelling there. Otherwise, you would have been the big winner.
Congratulations, Greg. Couldn't have gone to a better guy. Chuck, you already did your thing. So how stoked are you for the boondoggle, man?
You have no idea how badly I need this. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm expecting to hopefully put some hooks in fishes' faces, which is kind of my thing. But, other than that, one more shameless plug, if I could. This weekend, again, is the Old Fort Outdoor Festival. I'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Come on by and say hello to me in the Jackson Kayak booth. That is all.
All right. And as you heard Chuck say, the Jackson Kayak folks, if you haven't looked or sat in a Jackson Kayak, either the Cuda or the Coosa, you're definitely missing out on a great kayak for beginners, experienced anglers. For those of us that, you know, want to be able to paddle and not have to beat ourselves up and need a couple days of recovery afterwards. Great set of kayaks. Folks, definitely check out JacksonKayak.com. Check them out at your local dealer and, you know, paddle the best, you know. Best style. There we go. All right. Irish Water Dogs. YakAngler.com, the ultimate kayak fishing resource. Freak Nasty Lures, and that should do it. I'd like to thank everyone for stopping by. It was a great show, and I hope to catch everyone later. Again, if you want to talk to me this weekend, National Wild Turkey Federation convention at the Gaylord Hotel, working wood art booth. Look for the semi-bald guy with the chin hair. So with that, I see you do. Everyone have a great weekend. Boondoggle it up, coming up, and I will catch everyone later. With that, that lines.